This episode is sponsored by Drogba Studio. If you're a Salesforce ISV and you're thinking, should we even bet on the Salesforce ecosystem? Or our partner program exists, but it's not driving revenue. This is for you. Drogba Studio helps ISVs build a repeatable partner process. Clear partner profile, clear co-sell motion, clear messaging, and playbooks your alliances and marketing teams can run without chaos. It's led by Justin Edelstein, who spent 15 years running a Salesforce SI. So this is based on how SIs and AEs work in the real world. Learn more at drogbastudio.com. D-R-O-G-B-A studio.com. Welcome to Assembly Line, the podcast for entrepreneurs building on the Salesforce platform. We'll go behind the scenes with innovative founders and leaders to share their stories, strategies, and lessons to accelerate your own path to success as a Salesforce ISV. Are you looking to connect with the most dedicated founders and builders in the Salesforce ecosystem? The Assembly Line audience is made up of the exact ISV partners and entrepreneurs you're trying to reach. We're opening up a few sponsorship slots to partner with brands that can truly help our listeners succeed. If you're ready to connect with the leaders of the AppExchange, you can learn more at assemblyline.com/sponsor. That's assemblyline.com/sponsor. So I'm happy today to be joined by Paul Battison of Groundwork Apps. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for having me. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun conversation. So Paul and I were just chatting, and he has been in the ecosystem for a while and has touched a lot of really cool projects, including Financial Force before they became Certinia. He was at Mavens, which many developers and architects listening will recall the famous Mavens mate. He's also an author at Salesforce Ben. But more recently, and why he's joined the show, is he's CEO of Groundwork Apps, as well as Stonebear. So tell us about Groundwork Apps. The application is messaging made easy. Maybe you could share what problems it solves and who it's made for.
Yeah, sure. So so Groundwork Apps is an ISV I launched a couple of years back. I'd just been made redundant, or technically I was part of a board where the company was winding up, and so I ended up making myself redundant, I suppose would be the technical terms. I was sat on my honeymoon and was thinking, what do I want to do? So I made redundant on my honeymoon when I was being made redundant, and was like, great, no job to go back to. What do I do with myself? I founded Groundwork Apps, and our kind of view of the world is, I've done a lot of consulting work over the past 15, 16 odd years with Salesforce. And Salesforce is now quite an expensive thing to set up. Even a quick start in inverted commas is still $5,000, $10,000, sometimes even more than that. And I was working on one project in my last company where the customers told that, they weren't going to get to use the app. They weren't going to get to use Salesforce for about 6 months. And pay $250,000 to get part of it set up. And to me, that just feels wrong. And so kind of the driving force behind everything that Groundwork Apps builds, so both our Messaging Made Easy product and some of the other products we've got in the pipeline, is that an admin with good enough level of experience, they've logged in, messed around with setup, and have some basic understanding, should be able to get up and running with the app in under an hour. So Messaging Made Easy is the app we have out at the moment. It is a SMS, WhatsApp, and Viber messaging app. Once you have your API credentials for our... So we have a messaging partner platform we use called Messente, which similar to Twilio or any of the other kind of messaging platforms out there. Messente are EU-based and have a real focus on like deliverability metrics. They're used by a lot of financial services and logistics for how good they are at that. Once you have your API credentials and have your phone number sorted out and gone through those checks, you can install our app and be sending a message within 5 minutes. I have a demo video on LinkedIn, on YouTube, where it shows sending an SMS in 5 minutes. And I actually had to pad the video out because it was... it was one of those rare days when you clicked the install link and it was quick on I must have been running on a special Salesforce instance that one day. But normally that's what takes like the greatest amount of time is, you go to an install package link and it takes a few minutes just to get that running. But yeah, that's the focus with everything we do, is quick and easy for the customers so that you get real value from it. Because I think that's so important and is a real missing area at the moment.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. I love making it simple for anyone. It's become more and more important too. I feel like AI, which we'll get into later, is empowering everyone regardless of experience level to be more productive and get more done quickly. So I'm sure any app that can be set up so quickly, like messaging made easy, is a strong win. So another thing you touched on is what makes the setup so simple is folks are putting in their own API keys to the Mesente platform, which I would imagine greatly simplifies pricing on your end, because now you don't have to worry about usage-based billing and sending out invoices based on how many messages each of your customers are sending, right?
Yeah, again, have you heard that Bill Gates quote about, you know, wanting to find lazy programmers because they'll be the ones that do it best?
I like it.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's probably an apocryphal quote, but you know, I want to focus on, again, delivering value to people and doing things that can help people do more on Salesforce. And me sitting and having to work out invoicing and billing is not what I feel is probably the best use of anyone's time. You know, where's the value add in it? And you know, I know you were mentioning about coming on to AI in a minute, but I think there are certain applications and certain things that don't make sense for a per user license as well. You know, for the messaging app, my view is, you know, most of the messages you're going to be sending are automated anyway. So they'll be coming from something like a Flow or an Apex API that we've got or something like that. You will be sending a few back and forth, but it doesn't really matter to me if you're sending 100,000 messages or one. You know, obviously I want you sending more because it's a bit stickier as a platform, but so I go down the site-wide licensing route because to me, that scales infinitely. You know, I get you set up. It's much cheaper than you building your own integration out. You get the support, you get the updates, but I don't care how many users on there. I'd rather see you using it happily. And it also means that working with Mesente, you can get the best deal for you. So we have a couple of customers. There's a prospect, in fact, I'm talking to at the moment who are a huge organization, like absolute, you know, giant company. But they're not just using, they're looking at using the Salesforce app, but they're using Mesente for other applications and other parts of their stack. Mm-hmm. And so they can have a conversation with them to get the best rate for them and best deal for them. And I'm not sat there like trying to cream a penny off of every message that sends or something and working out usage billings and things like that. To me, that's not kind of following that mission of value and kind of ROI. It's, here's your price. It's predictable. You know what's going on. And it also makes it easier, again, from a negotiation perspective, is that I have a price. I have a floor price. You know, if someone wants to sign up for a five-year contract, I can do them something on that. If they don't and they want to sign up for 1 year, I have another price, you know, the base price for them. But it's repeatable and consistent for them. Mm-hmm. They don't have to sit there and think, oh, I'm adding five more people. And you know, truth be told, as we're seeing more AI and more agents do more work, if seat counts are going down, then it kind of also insulates against that problem.
Yes, true. That makes sense. I'm curious. So it's more and more common, right, to hear about ISVs building integrations to third-party platforms. Mm-hmm. Without getting too into the weeds, you know, one area that a lot of founders get anxiety about is going through the security review. And I do know that when your application, your Salesforce application, is touching a third-party API, generally you provide access to your server or an endpoint on your server, as well as obviously they're reviewing the managed package code. But in your case, you're tapping a server outside of your control, right? The Mesente platform. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if you could maybe share a little bit more about what security view is like. Are they just, when you're dealing with a big partner like Mesente, are they just basically given the go-ahead from the Salesforce security review team, or do you need to get Mesente involved in the process?
It's funny because I can actually tell you from a couple of different perspectives. I used to help out on some other ISV apps that also had integrations to things like the UK's tax group, HMRC. But for any of these big entities, Salesforce has a pre-approved list. So if you are hosted or running on their pre-approved list, you're okay. So there are certain, so I think like Google API, so like the Google Maps API, Salesforce have vetted that. They're okay with that. You don't have to worry about that.
Gotcha.
Assuming you're not on the approved list, you then need to submit some documentation. Not to go too much into the weeds, but it's basically you hit the endpoints and check that they're okay. If you're a nice partner like myself and you have a good relationship, the best practice I would recommend is to reach out to the partner, have a conversation, say, look, I'd like, you know, because you should have had that conversation up front anyway about you helping them by building an app for their platform that integrates with them, builds them a new marketplace. And so, yeah, I had that conversation with Mercenti, like, look, you know, I need to run some of these security checks. They were like, okay, great. They put me in contact with their security team who were like, we've run these ones already. Here are some results. You can run these other ones. Let us know when you're doing it. You know, and you effectively run it through a proxy server and it hits the endpoints and checks a few things. And then you submit that in. You know, from if you're a vendor of a big enough size that you're thinking of having a Salesforce integration or similar, you're going to have got most of these things covered there, you know, standard kind of web security setup. They're good to do. I mean, I mentioned we've got some other products in the pipeline, but one of them, I know this is a Salesforce focused podcast, but one of them is taking the same idea for other CRMs. And that is building our own kind of middle platform that allows us to integrate with HubSpot or Zoho or others as needed. But that I will be still running some of these tests on because I still need that security and compliance at the back of my mind. So yeah, you run some tests, you get some answers. It's not onerous. It's not pen testing. It's not anything like that. What Salesforce are really looking for, as far as I understand, is in your code, are you following generic good security practices? So you're not, you know, you're not storing API keys in plain text in a field. You know, if you're doing basic auth, you might be using now an external client app or, yeah, you've got these ways of managing it and holding onto it, or you're using OAuth or whatever it needs to be. But then for the endpoints, it's just some standard checks. So they really just care that, you know, there is a good level of security on there. But I would suggest that, you know, reach out to the partner, make sure you're having a good discussion with them, you know, and do it, approach it in a partnership manner, not as in a, hey, Salesforce need to test you. It's, hey, for us to get through this, we need to run these checks. I'm sure you're covered by them, but I want to share the results of them with you so you can use them in case there are any things that need looking at.
Sure. That's helpful. Thanks for sharing that. So I'm also curious how you came up with the idea for Messaging Made Easy. So I know you've got a long history of working on the platform and consulting, like you mentioned, and you specifically brought up how something that's inspired you is making setup and implementation as quick as possible. So, you know, how did you pick this problem, as the first one you're going to tackle and what sounds like eventually will be a suite of apps from Groundwork Apps?
Yeah. So it was a couple of things really is I'd battled against using different, SMS providers and, you know, tools like that over the years. And yeah, there are a bunch of apps out there on the platform that are great. And, yeah, anyone who has got, not anyone, 90% of the Salesforce apps that are released by companies and have gone through security are great apps. And, you know, I know if you sat down, me and the team that run any of the other apps, we would all sit there and hopefully all be friendly chaps and, you know, people and say, look, this is good about this one, this is good about this one, this is good about this one. The reason I chose to do it is, A, I thought it was a bit of an open space. And still, the messaging market is still massively underserved in the world. Yeah, I think there's less than, I was chatting to one of the Mercenti team the other week, and we were saying that under 5% of companies are still using any mobile messaging, which is, you know, given that we've all got one of these that we're wandering around with all the time, is really quite dramatically low.
Yes.
So that there's that side of things. I did think that, you know, I can build something that's interesting and unique and fits my kind of vision of having that, you know, simplicity, quick to set up and quick to run. and it also ties in nicely to A, some other plans for other apps I've got, but B, just some cool stuff I think you can do with it around value add. So one of the things I'm really interested in is is kind of the right channel at the right time. I think that people have got to realize that when you are sending out a marketing message, it's the right person, the right channel at the right time, and with the right content. And every channel has its pros and cons. Email, is fantastic. I know you had Ross from Beaufort 12 on here the other day. Like, MailChimp, their MailChimp app is great. I'm a user of that app. It works brilliantly. But your open rate on any email is probably going to top out 60-ish% if you've got a good email. Maybe more, maybe less. Like, depends on the size of your list of things. Messaging, 90%+. I think for SMS messages, I remember a stat, it was 98% of SMS messages are opened and actioned within the first 30 minutes.
Like, wow.
That is, Scott, if you hold up your hands for me and just do that, have you got an Apple Watch on?
I don't.
Oh, see, I was going to do
I'm
that.
I'm sorry.
And like, I was hoping, like, it's one of the things I like to do when people say to me, well, why SMS in particular still? It's like, well, you hold up your hands and do that. I've got a smartwatch on. And although I'm on Do Not Disturb at the moment, so the only person that could ring me is my wife, as I make sure I always answer those phone calls. Any message I get buzzes through on here. And whilst we can have a big discussion around how awful that is for my distractibility and mental health, it's good that there's all these kind of things that are in there. I think that there's a really good kind of view you can do about analyzing that data, where it comes from, and connecting with people. So and I think it's also, the other thing is, it's to me a nice problem that solves across the platform. There's service, there's sales, there's marketing, there's pure platform use cases. I've built some crazy systems in my time. I built a system that managed samples in fridges in laboratories. And that's, a really weird system to build on Salesforce. Still something could use SMS messages, though, because you could have it so that when your sample is in the fridge for you, it pings you a text message or a WhatsApp message.
Or the fridge is getting too warm, get an alert.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. There's all these different things that goes out there. And so it's a nice cross-platform one, because I do like working with the different products Salesforce has.
That's very cool. Yeah. I appreciate the exercise, even though I think holding up my hands really just made me look like a dinosaur.
I mean, like Scotosaurus, yeah.
All right. So that makes sense. You mentioned earlier that a few times now that there's kind of a long-term play with messaging made easy, and it's going to blend into other apps. I don't know if those are still under wraps, or could you go into a little more detail or give us a sneak preview of what's coming down the pipe from Groundwork?
Yeah. So part of it, as I mentioned, is kind of the broader idea of a platform where, we know that the CRM market is constantly having new CRMs come in and be fragmented. So having that, so that we could integrate with other CRMs. And then, I think that people forget that CRMs are a life cycle. Salesforce is fantastic. I love Salesforce. Is it the best CRM for your two-person startup? Possibly not. I've got a friend who runs a HubSpot agency, and he and I have had long, very boring discussions over a couple of drinks about which CRM and why. But it depends on the scale and scope of what you're doing and how you are. And so I want to be a partner that can help you as you move through those journeys, not just kind of here at one point. I've got an application that working on with Beaufort 12, in fact, around scoring. We have actually released some notes about that a while ago. It's currently going through beta testing, and we should be ready to kind of have pre-release soon. And that's focused on data scoring and kind of, helping you understand your data on the platform, and having an action framework behind it, so that it might be that you come up with a custom way of scoring leads, and that can help you understand whether they, not just a kind of simple checkbox rate, simple pick list rating of, cold, warm, and hot, but, based upon what data you have, how complete the record is, what interactions they've had, and then you could fire an email off through MailChimp. You could send a text message to say, hey, here's a special offer for you, and so on and so forth. And then there's another product that is a bit more early stage that I can't really share too much on at the moment, but is focused on helping you build applications quickly again to kind of lower that cycle down. But yeah, and then yeah, I'm a big believer in kind of automating as much as you can. Yeah, I've spent my entire career going to companies and saying, this problem you have, how do we take the steps out, and you know, how do we remove the humans and the friction and the spreadsheets as much as possible and make it quick and easy? And kind of I want to try and do that with problems I have, you know, and automate them throughout my business. And so that's kind of part of where my focus has always been.
Very cool. I'll
just turn my light on real quick because it's getting dark.
Oh, sure.
Sorry about that.
No problem. So I want to talk a little bit too again about your partnership and, you know, the pros and cons of kind of being joined at the hip to a platform like Macente. So obviously you have a trusted partner. They've got all the infrastructure for sending out these messages. But I'm curious if there's ever been any downsides, like maybe someone is a Twilio shop and they don't really want to sign up for two platforms. I mean, has there ever been an issue where you've considered partnering with another vendor, not just Macente, another platform besides Macente?
So I've got a customer that a prospect that I'm working through at the moment with Macente, who sent me an email in the background after our first call, like, we like the Salesforce product, we've already got a messaging provider, is there a chance you could integrate with that instead? And I said thanks, but no, we're a Macente partner and do that. You know, I think that you always have an option to do that. I personally wouldn't. In my mind, that, you know, Macente have been a good partner to me when I was starting the app up and, you know, mm-hmm. getting going. So I want to be a good partner to them on the way back. I think that, you know, I think a lot of people have forgotten that partnerships in business are still partnerships, and that you have to have respect and trust and things going backwards and forwards. And that's really important to me. There are downsides in that, you know, they support the channels they support. Occasionally I will talk to them about, hey, have you thought about this channel? And they might go, we're not really interested. And they'll say to me, have you thought about this? And it's something that I'm not as interested in. You know, there's a dialogue there. But in general, I think the benefit of having one partner that you work with is that you can have a trust, you can know what's going on, you can get set up. You have a bit of a voice at the table. You know, I talk to their product management, their CTO, you know, their team, and we have a good communication there. So I have a voice in their product and from what we're seeing. From their side, is it's good to have another visible way of showing their product and how easy it is to integrate and work with. I think if you were to start from the ground up, imagining that you're going to work with all these different providers, you could probably do it. I think that there's a level of technical layering that then becomes difficult. You know, the way that Macente accept an SMS message will be different to the way Twilio do it, which will be different to the way, you know, AN other system does it, you know. You're trying to partner with someone for expertise as well. I mean, the reason that we as ISVs partner with Salesforce is they have produced a very good platform. You know, Joe, are there kinks in it? Yeah. It's, you know, if we change this podcast now, Scott, to list out the things we want to change about Salesforce, we could be here for what, 4 hours? You know, there's a bunch of things that we all know we want to tweak and do. But at the end of the day, Salesforce is a very robust platform that scales. It's easy to build your apps on there. You know, I can tell you, having looked at other CRMs for building apps on there, Salesforce gives you so much that you just forget about. Like, you know, I can build my app on the platform as a native app. I'm not having to run a server anywhere or do any of this other stuff. But, you know, you choose your partners because of that. You want to have a good partnership. And I think that's kind of always been key to me is yeah, you could do it, but the technical cost might be high for one thing. But I just think having a good, strong partner and a good, strong partnership makes it useful. And, you know, I would hope that if someone went to Macente and said, hey, I'd like to build a Salesforce app, they go, well, we actually have one already, so have a chat with Paul. Or, you know, they would come to me and maybe say, hey, you know, it becomes a conversation then rather than just a, you know, if you're not being loyal or helpful to them, they don't have to be loyal and helpful to you.
Are you struggling to make sense of the Salesforce security review? It's the number one roadblock slowing down your AppExchange launch. Security Review Partner translates those complex reports into a simple, prioritized checklist. Stop deciphering jargon and start shipping faster. Get the clear, step-by-step guidance you need to pass the review with confidence. Simplify your path to market. Visit securityreviewpartner.com today. That's securityreviewpartner.com.
Exactly. I was going to say, I love that. Staying loyal breeds loyalty, right? So
exactly,
it sounds like a true partnership. So that's great. So I want to talk about, too, the fact that messaging made easy is very powerful and that it's it comes across at least as a very horizontal solution. Mm-hmm. We talked about, you know, even using it to get temperature checks on samples in a lab refrigerator. Obviously, there's use cases of more sales and marketing. But the point is, a number of different companies could use this. A number of different industries could use this. And I noted on your on Groundwork App's website how you have specific use cases broken down by industry type. And I'm wondering if you could just touch on how you've approached marketing and messaging, because something I've talked about with guests on the podcast before is how when you can serve so many different customer profiles, it can be more difficult to nail messaging with any particular persona.
Yeah, I think the approach I've always taken is what's, truth be told, it's similar to the approach I took in consulting. I am still probably strongly a consultant at heart. And, you know, as a consultant, you get thrown in to talk to all sorts of different companies. It might be that, you know, say you work on four projects a year, perhaps you might start the first project and it be you're working with a financial services company. The second one might be, you know, a nonprofit. The third one might be a life sciences company. And the fourth one might be, might be a packaged goods company. And those are four different, very different things. Salesforce is still saying the same. Like, you know, that's the key underlying of it. They're still going to be using accounts and contacts or personal accounts, maybe. Still going to be, you know, using Flow, still going to be using Apex. And it's where you decide your positioning yourself as. And I kind of think that with the app, with messaging made easy, I'm trying to position it as that kind of core infrastructure piece of an app. Like, again, once you're set up with messaging, outside of the service use case, most of your messages are automated. You're not going to be, you know, I don't believe people are going into the app every day and going, oh, I need to look at my message templates or, you know, no one's doing that. And if they are, then, you know, they probably need to go and find something better to do with their time. So I think, first of all, it's considering it like that. And then it's talking the language of the customers when you're going to talk to the customers. And so the way I've approached the production of content and the way in which we market is, first of all, talk about the application generically, because there are a big cadre of admins, developers, consultants out there in the ecosystem that still make a lot of difference and can help drive, you know, drive revenue, drive sales and things like that. Because, you know, as a consultant, I can tell you, once I'd worked with an application and found it really easy to use for a problem, every time I came up against that problem, I'd use that same application. You know, why would you, why relearn something else? And then kind of once you've taken that, is then thinking, okay, build those use cases out to talk the language of the customer. And so you're really kind of coming up with two different sets of marketing content, one of which is kind of broader platform level, you know, admin, developer, you know, consultant content. And then there's another piece where you are focused on those customers and it's talking about what you know. I'm really lucky that I have worked with Salesforce for such a long time that other than like tobacco and arms, I think I've dealt with everyone, you know. So, you know, I can come up with use cases because I've done a lot of work in a lot of different use cases. And so having that conversation, talking that way is really important. If I was starting off from new and scratch and I didn't have that, I'd think about what I knew. You know, I spent 5 years when I was at Mavens doing only healthcare and life sciences, you know. There was a period where I went into Salesforce's offices to tell some of their new life science AEs some of the regulations, how they worked, how to deal with them, et cetera, because we were recognized as experts on that. And so, you know, look at what you know, look at what you understand it, and focus on that first. And that'll really help you come up with that content, and then just build it out as you kind of get more comfortable with different use cases, different areas. But I think if you're at that infrastructure level, for whatever phrase, of an app, then you have the ability to talk to admins and developers and consultants. And, you know, we're problem solvers. We're all really good at looking at the abstract solution and the abstract problem and bringing them together.
Very cool. Well, and so I'm also curious when it comes to scaling. You know, we've talked about partnerships with your kind of internal stack, obviously partnership with Salesforce. I'm curious if when it comes to, you know, scaling out your go-to-market, if you are, you know, selling and working with admins the sales would be Salesforce subscribers directly, or, you know, you talked about in your consulting days, you found a solution that worked, you'd keep going back to it. So are you partnering with SIs, or are you actively like seeking out SI partnerships to bring messaging made easy to as many orgs as possible? Or are you staying focused on doing all the selling yourself?
So it's, I suppose, 50-50 is the honest answer at the moment. So with SI partners, there are a couple of SI partners that we've worked with and implemented with, and they now bring me into some deals. Yeah, they've used the tool. They know how it works. I keep them updated. And I've got a close relationship with them. So, you know, so that if they have a problem, they know they can ping me and get an answer on it. I do still try and seek out new SIs. It's something that, you know, I try and do sort of every 6 months. And it's weird to say that. But the reasoning being is that A, the SI world changes quite a lot during every 6 months, and B, I think it's always good for me to go out and try and engage with new people. You know, there are different models for doing it. Some companies I've worked with have very much a referral model and pieces like that. I don't, you know, I try and let the app speak for itself. And, you know, you have my app price, you know how my app is and how it sets up. It's easy to set up. That's the bonus for the SI partners. They can take it in, be confident with it. And, you know, I don't want the consulting work. That's for them to do and have and set up. So I think, you know, there's a big piece around partnering with SIs there that can be very helpful. I like to do sales myself. You know, I was formerly the chief operating officer for an organization. So I was doing sales and marketing as well as a bit of delivery. And nobody can talk about a product like a founder can. If I sat you down and said, Scott, show me your product, you will show it to me better than anyone else. And you know, that doesn't scale always. You know, do you know what? When you're in the nicest sense to Mark Benioff, I don't think he'd give me the best Salesforce demo anymore. Like, you know, it's too big a product for him. But
sure.
At the level, you know, at the size and scope of where you're really an involved founder, you can do that. And also, again, I lean back on my consulting background a lot. I'm able to go into an org, hear the problem, understand it. You know, sales is just consulting. That's all it is. It's you. If you're doing a sales pitch, the first thing you always start off with is, so, tell me about you. Tell me about your org. Tell me about the problem. Tell me what you're trying to use this app for. And you've got to be bold enough that if, you know, don't try and fit your app into their problem. Try and make sure your app solves it. And if it doesn't, be bold enough and honest enough to say, actually, we're not the right fit for you. You know, and I think that there's a lot of founders that are very afraid to say no up front. And you can say the number of times on a call where we are building and innovating as we go, and I say, we don't do that, we don't do that, we don't do that. Here are the reasons we don't do that for some instances, because some instances it is something that I don't really want to add into the app or shouldn't do. But in general, if you're open, we're going to say, we don't do that, but we have it on the roadmap. We don't do this. Why would you want to do this? And help me understand it. And it builds that conversation up. And you can have sometimes where you say, no, we're not the right fit for you. Here is another fit. Always be willing to help out and give an option. But yeah, it's I think as doing that consulting level sales is something I'm good at, I like doing. And I think, yeah, founders give the best demos of their products. So at the moment, it's the best way for me to be able to do it.
Well, I love the advice to the to be honest and loyal to customers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I've always taken the approach. Like, there was a customer I was dealing with the other day where they were, yeah, I'm sure you've had this problem, and I'm sure that for any of the ISV managers, founders, whatever, listening, you go into, someone says something is wrong with your app, and you go in and you look at the problem and it's nothing to do with your app at all. Someone is like, I had one the other day where someone was using a flow. They'd made mistakes in the flow. Like, it wasn't getting anywhere near sending a text message. It was failing at step number 1 out of 20, and I was step number 21. So I had two options then. I could sit there and say, look, I've pointed to the problem. You need to go away and have a chat and figure that out yourself. Or I could spend an hour and go through and fix it with them. And I spent the hour and fixed it with them, and they were happy when they could see messages sending, and I got to have a chat with them, build up a bit of rapport. That's invaluable. Like, you know, you can't put a price on that sort of stuff. And you know, if they don't choose the product, they don't choose the product. I've lost an hour, right? Yes, it's a pain, but like, you know, they will remember me. They will remember that, and they'll come back.
Sure. Wait, and this was a prospect. This wasn't even a customer?
Not even a customer. Wow. I'd given them, I'd asked them, I'd let them have a demo of the product because they wanted to go away and test it for a bit. And I was like, fine, you know, they're in a regulated industry, so they need to do some testing of it and things like that. And I know that they've got other apps they are testing, because I can, you know, when they went in their org, I could see them. They're not, you know, I'm not stupid. Yeah, I know the names of these apps, but they reached out to me about that flow. I fixed it for them and helped them understand flow better. You know, if they don't choose me, that's fine, but I can sleep well at night knowing that I've tried to help them out. You know, it's, You've got to set the boundary somewhere. You know, I'm not going to, if it was a 3-hour call, I'm not going to do that. And if they came back later on with another error that was similar, I said, this is like that error we had. Do you remember how we fixed that? And they went off and did it. But do you know what? I would rather do the right thing and kind of try and build that rapport up, because people remember it and come back to you. You know, I still have people that I worked with as a consultant years ago who will message me. Yeah, there's one company that I worked with who are about 2 miles up the road from me and do like packaged goods. So, like, you know, things that they literally sell on a website and box out. And I helped them set up Salesforce years ago. And occasionally, like, they'll give me a phone call, like, you know, can we just pick your brains for half an hour? And I'll let them pick my brains, and I have a little catch up with them, and, you know, people that I've known for years now, and I'll help them out. Tell them the shortest, simplest answer for them to get what they need. You know, they had one the other week where someone was trying to sell them a product. I was like, you don't need that. You need to do this. Go and check these two checkboxes, and it worked. Mm. But like, you know, they're then like, you know, I don't charge them for that. You know, next time I see them, they'll buy me lunch. But if I ever need a reference, guess who I can go to? You know,
yeah.
It's a lot of business is still human. I know, you know, we can talk about how AI is taking over the world all we want, but you know, a lot of business is still very human. And, you know, in the same way that, like, you know, you emailed me the other day, Scott, about something we were chatting about with an issue with some setup for a back. We won't go into the details, but like, you know,
that's true.
You messaged me about it. I sent you the thing, like, you know, it took me 10 minutes to find out. That problem's been fixed now. So I was actually meaning to tell you about that at some point. But like, you know, What did it? I could have ignored the email and been a pain about it, but yeah, you know, why would I? Like, it's 10 minutes and I can help you out. Why wouldn't I?
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. I'm sure this company you'd help set up Salesforce really appreciates it. You're right that, you know, focusing on every interaction being transactional has a lot of downside consequences in the long run. And instead, just being helpful and not really necessarily always thinking about ROI.
Think about value rather than ROI. Like, you know,
yeah,
that's the key thing, is you need to deliver value to people and make them, you know what I was saying earlier about like how demoing as a founder is always the best. It's, you know, when I'm demoing my app, seeing someone receive a text message on their phone that they have typed into a screen is so simply stupid, but everyone, oh, it's come through.
There it is.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you can add a bit of fun around it, if you can add a bit of flavor, then great. But like, you know, that human interaction there and delivering, you know, showing that value is the key part. And that's what makes people like you and stay with you. And, you know, that's it really.
Yeah, 100%. All right, this is going to be a tough segue now, going from just such a human topic, from such a human topic to shift over to the exact opposite and talk about AI. Let's bring in the robots to the discussion here. You know, you mentioned already how your application can be used in a very automated way once things are set up. Mm-hmm. And it definitely does seem like the kind of thing that would lend itself well to an agentic use case, and you know, Agentforce or you know, AI being the driver of some of these messages. I'm curious, have you, you know, started building out integrations with Agentforce, or is that a specific agent exchange app?
Not yet. So, well, we're working on integrating into the agent exchange at the moment. Yeah, Joe, it will work. It should work great for agents. And, you know, every time I see someone do a demo, you know, about how wonderful OpenClaw or Clawbot or whatever they're calling it now is, and like, look, it just uses WhatsApp and it's going backwards and forwards and messaging me. It's like, great. There are a lot of things like that that it can do and be useful. That's fantastic. So yeah, I think I've been trying to, I don't want to say I've been trying to hold off. I have been trying to hold off a little bit about getting it integrated with Agentforce, because I think there was a period last year where Salesforce were finding their feet a little bit with what they were doing with it.
Sure.
I feel a little bit like that's stabilized a bit more now. And that Salesforce have really strongly gone down this hybrid-y approach of things. I've been doing technology long enough that I know that you don't just jump on the brand new thing straight away. And yeah, hell, I've been working with Salesforce long enough that I know that when a new product is announced, you've got to give it 12 months before you decide whether it's going to be around for long enough. Yeah. I mean, how many products did you build on NFT Cloud? Yeah. It's
So well, you yeah.
So that's it. I do think there's a lot of value from those agentic solutions, and I do have plans to go on there, but yeah, you've got to give it a little bit of time to, especially from a product perspective, I think. Like, you know, as a developer, going and learning and playing with things is really important and it's great fun. As a product developer, you and I both know that it's really, really easy to remove things from a managed package once you've added them in there. There's no long-lasting terrible repercussions whatsoever that will live with you until the end of days. So I think you have to be aware of that, like, as you're doing it, and also kind of test it, feel it out. You know, don't add something in that you wouldn't understand on how to use yourself.
Sure, makes sense. Well, we should wrap up, but before we do, I'm just curious. You know, I mean, someone who you've seen the ecosystem go through a number of changes. You've seen a lot of paradigm shifts just in software development in general, right? So from on-prem to cloud. Now we're seeing this big push to AI. I'm curious if you have any advice for someone who's just stepping into the Salesforce ecosystem as a first-time ISV founder, maybe not quite as seasoned as yourself. Any advice to them?
The bits of advice are take your time. Like, you know, it's you want to get a product out there, you want to get people using it, and you want to get feedback. But think about what you're doing and why. You know, you don't want to just release something because it's like those things we just mentioned about long tail decisions. You know, we mentioned I worked at Financial Force. Financial Force's accounting namespace is still C2G, so the original name of the product before they rebranded times ago. You know, so when you make these decisions, they will live with you. So take your time. Do try and partner with people and reach out to people for advice. You know, the ecosystem is very friendly. I'm happy to, you know, if someone's building a product and says, hey, I just want to pick someone's brains for 20 minutes about, is this a good idea? And yeah, am I doing this right? Do so. You know, there used to be a lot more technical enablement I felt from Salesforce, and some of that isn't necessarily there in the human aspect anymore, you know, to talk to. So reach out to all the founders, you know, Scott has a great podcast, I gather, that has a list of people with ISVs on there that you could, that, you know, all of us, I imagine most of the people on there would be very happy to talk, give advice and help. And, you know, those would be probably the two biggest things, is to really, really think and, you know, plan your steps out there, because I always talk about there being two types of problems. There are real problems, and then there are good problems. A real problem is the app's gone down, it's not working, I've got a data leak, oh, I'm not GDPR compliant, oops, I've leaked API keys, you know, I've just deleted my customer's data. You know, those are all real problems. Those are the ones you want to focus on. Good problems are, I'm sending out invoices manually and I've suddenly got 20,000 customers and I now need to do 20,000 invoices. That is a terrible position for you to be in, to have to do 20,000 invoices. But let's be clear, having 20,000 customers is a good problem to have. That's you hire someone to do that, right? You know, so focus on the good problems and the bad, focus on the real problems and not the good problems. Don't try and scale too early. Don't try and, you know, Donald Knuth famously said that premature optimization is the root of all evil. So, you know, focus on getting a really solid app built that you would use and you like, and then go out to customers before you're worried about, have I integrated my banking system to this thing and got order management nailed down? Like, you know, your first 10, 15 customers are going to be white glove onboarding anyway, because you need that. So, you know, you'll find things out as you go.
That's very good advice. Not always easy to follow, but no. Very, very good advice to just focus on the real problems and not the good problems. I love that.
Exactly.
Well, Paul, since, like you said, we like to have folks that are honest and loyal like yourself on the show, that are willing to provide value. If people do want to reach out to pick that brain of yours, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you or Groundwork Apps in general?
Visit the Groundwork Apps website. We have a contact us form. You can ping through that and mention that you want to chat to me and it'll come through to me. I'm on LinkedIn. There is, thankfully, only one of me in the Salesforce ecosystem. Batterson is quite a unique surname, so you can find me on there. I'm pretty easy to find out and about if you need me. Drop me a message on LinkedIn or through the contact us form there. Look forward to hearing from people and speaking to people.
Awesome. Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining. Best of luck to the Groundwork Apps team, and looking forward to hearing more updates about the other suite of apps that are going to be joining Messaging Made Easy soon.
No, thank you. It's been really good. Really happy to be here, and thanks for having me, Scott.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Building an AppExchange business can be isolating. Are you tired of guessing what the right next move is to grow and scale? Don't go it alone. ISV Forge surrounds you with a curated group of fellow ISV founders who are on the same journey. We combine peer accountability with expert-led weekly webinars to help you overcome roadblocks and build a thriving business. Stop guessing and start scaling. Apply for the next cohort today at isvforge.com. That's isvforge.com.